Job chapter number 32, and I want to take as a text verse number 20, or a portion of the verse. The Bible says, I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Once again, those words from chapter number 32 and verse number 20, I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I want to preach for a little while on this subject, the frustration of a younger fellow. I spoken earlier about that blessed book, the blessed book, the Word of God. And of course, Job took such a valiant stand by the grace of God. He took such a stand, even without the complete Word of God that you and I have, and without an indwelling Holy Spirit. Yet thank the Lord for the good stand that he took. Thank the Lord for the purity of the man. God, of course, gave his words concerning Job, and what a wonderful man that was. But here we come to a time in which, you might say, the verbal follies between the three friends and Job had come to an end. The three miserable comforters had over and over tried to bring him under conviction and cause him to confess that it was his fault that these troubles had come upon him. I don't want to misrepresent Job. It's not as though that Job was always striking back every time they took a strike at him. I believe Job was especially concerned about his relationship with God. And sometimes he did respond to them. He'd say something back to them as a result of their speaking against him. But so much of the time, that was not the case of Job just being combative with them. And yet there were words that went back and forth between them. And they may have finally come to a point where they had run out of fresh ammunition, and there was a silence that came. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 14. Now he hath not directed his words against me. Speaking about Job, Elihu speaking. He hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more. In verse number 1, the Bible says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. One of the things you might remember if you were verbally assaulted, you're falsely accused, is eventually those that are your assailants may run out of arguments, run out of words, they may eventually tire in attacking you. And of course, you might think about if a dog or a group of dogs have a coon tree, they may stand around, they may bark and bark, and no one comes to assist them, they may eventually get tired of that and go away. In the case of Job, Job had stood his ground. He did not have the right to wrongly confess that he was at fault. Job had stood his ground. He held fast to his integrity. And finally, it came to a point that the three friends, the three miserable comforters, became silent. One person wrote these words, silence after the storm. Part of the art of speaking is to perceive the time for ceasing to speak. It is difficult for many people to come to an end of their words. A man should only speak because he has something to say, never because he has to say something. If we speak to heedless ears, we waste our breath. We may find that no words will move our hearers, then further words are wasted on them. Talkative people are tempted to be selfish. If anything worth remembering has been said, it is well that people should have time to think it over. End of quote. So they came to this time in which there was, as it might be said, silence on the battlefield. And yet a new contestant showed up. He had been there apparently, but he spoke up at least. The Bible talks about Elihu. Elihu was younger than the three friends and Job, according to the Scriptures. In verse number 4, the Bible says, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. And so I believe that all of them were older than Elihu. I don't know exactly how old he was. He's a younger man. He may have been about my age. You may think that sounds odd, but in Job years, you may talk about dog years. Well, in Job years, as long as Job lived, and if that was the case for the people in his day, then at my age, a man may have been a relatively young man. And so Elihu, I don't know exactly how old he was, but I believe he was younger than the three friends and Job. And he waited, he had respect for the elders, he waited for them, and then finally, after so many things have been said back and forth, finally, Elihu began to speak. It is good to respect the elders. It is taught in the Word of God. It is good for us to respect the elders for, number one, who they are. And regardless of how man has lived, it is good for us to respect elders for who they are. But secondly, it can be good for us to respect elders for what they have done. Now, in that case, of course, there can be a varying amount of respect. Some people, you may show them the basic respect you're supposed to show an elder, and then some men might have lived such good lives that you feel that you owe them a great deal of honor. You owe them more respect than just the average elderly person. One wrote these words, "The old hero may become a feeble invalid, yet he still wears the scars of the battles of bygone days, and we must respect him for what he has done." End of quote. At the beginning of a person's life, of course, he is not able to help himself and he needs help. Oftentimes, at the end of a person's life, he cannot help himself and he needs help. And it is good for us to show a proper respect to the elderly. Now, it seems that Elihu had been an attendant to the three friends. Notice, if you will, beginning in verse number 11. The Bible says, "Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words." Remember that Job was under the captivity of Satan at this time. The Bible talks about that, tells us about that. He was under the captivity of Satan at this time, and I believe that Satan was orchestrating the attacks. I don't think it was any accident that there were so many things that happened, one after another, so that messenger after messenger came to Job with bad news. I believe that Satan was orchestrating the attack. And these three friends might have unwittingly just been used of Satan to pelt Job over and over with false accusations. And then finally they came to silence. But there was another that came on the field. Like a general holding back a particular general with his troops, holding him back so that after the opposing army had tired, then sending him in to try to roll up the flank. In this case, they had finally come to the point of silence, and Elihu began to speak, and of course, it was a lengthy speech that he gave. Now, I believe that Satan was orchestrating things. Thank the Lord that Job held up so well. The Bible says in verse number 14, "Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches." And so he was going to, according to his words, he's going to speak to Job differently than they spoke to him. We might think about how wearisome fighting can be. When a person is fighting, and if any of you ever boxed much, you may realize that in just a little while you may come to the point where it feels as though you can't even lift your arms anymore. And in the case of verbal fighting, sometimes it might be that you can last quite a bit longer that way, but it can be a wearisome thing, trying to match wits with someone, trying to persuade them to come over your way or to win the argument against them. And it could be that the three friends had gotten tired. But here was a young man, a younger man, a fresh man. And supposedly he was going to have fresh arguments against Job. Now notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 2. The Bible says, "Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet condemned Job." Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then was his wrath kindled. First of all, consider, and you young people, sometimes you may be frustrated because of things that you see in life. We might consider these things, but of course as you are considering the frustrations as you look out about you and you look at leadership out there, sometimes leadership, the failures in leadership can be very frustrating. And yet, consider your own heart as well. Has your heart got fault in it that is causing you to have frustration? First of all, consider this. Frustration because elders have identified a problem and attacked it, but have not conquered it. We've got a lot of old problems in America. Down through the years, people have talked about some of the same old things over and over again. America's had problems, and their speeches, people may speak against them in speeches. Politicians may have their ideas. Laws may be passed, and yet some of these problems have just continued on and on and on. And I realize it can be frustrating looking at the government saying, why don't they go ahead and fix this thing instead of just letting it go on and on and on. The great gathering in Washington, and of course there was a riot that took place, but the great gathering in Washington, I believe that most of those people were there are an indication of the frustration that there is in America. And it can be very easy being frustrated. The leaders in the country may talk about a problem that we have, but still not take care of the problem so that we continue right on down the same road. How many times has been talked about the budget? The fact that we've got a national debt and it keeps mounting, and yet they keep adding to the national debt. Consider, first of all, the fire of Elihu's wrath. James chapter number 1, verse number 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." That's a Bible statement. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Be careful when you are frustrated with leadership. You're frustrated with those that are older and ought to know better. Be careful that you don't get in the flesh and you don't do and say things that you should not do and say. Here's a quote. "Anger is a short madness. The less we do when we go mad, the better for everybody. And the less we go mad, the better for ourselves. Do nothing when you are out of temper, and then you will have less to undo. Let a hasty man's passion be a warning to you. If he scalds you, take heed that you do not let your own pot boil over. He who cannot curb his temper carries gunpowder in his bosom, and he is neither safe for himself nor his neighbors. Anger does a man more hurt than that which made him angry. It opens a mouth and shuts his eyes and fires his heart and drowns his sense and makes his wisdom folly. Anger is a fire which cooks no victuals and comforts no household. It cuts and curses and kills, and no one knows what it may lead to. Gently, gently, little pot, Why so hasty to be hot? Over you will surely boil, and I know not what you'll spoil. Sometimes we may see things that are going around us, leadership failing, and become so frustrated, but if we're not careful, then we may start to say things and react wrongly. I think part of, in that crowd, the rioting crowd and the part that stormed the Capitol, I think there were those that just terrible people with ill intent, but I think there were probably some other people that got caught up in the moment, so frustrated with the government, that they went ahead and went in with the rest of them. Be careful. Be careful that you don't get out of the will of God, trying to help to complete, to work the will of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 6. The Bible says, "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, they should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." Think secondly about frustration because of a repressed desire to voice his opinion. Notice, if you will, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion." Verse number 17, "I said, I will answer also my part, I also will show mine opinion." There are a lot of opinions in the book of Job. When a man has wrath, there was the fire of the wrath of Elihu. There was a kindling for the wrath of Elihu. The Bible says that his wrath was kindled against Job because he justified himself rather than God. His wrath was kindled against the three friends because they found no answer, yet had condemned Job. And we see that there are things going on. We feel as though that things are not being fixed, things are not being taken care of, and sometimes we may have a wrath that boils up within us. And when that wrath boils up within us, and by the way, if you can stop, it can be bad enough to have sinful wrath within, but at least if you can stop it there, so that you don't begin to spout that which is wicked, so that you don't begin to act out that which is wicked, at least if you can stop it there, that could be a great benefit. But in the case of Elihu, imagine him boiling within, and when there's something that is boiling, a liquid that is boiling in a container, then if there's a little vent, it may help. And then, if it is not vented, it may eventually reach a point where there is an explosion. And sometimes people may be upset about things, and there may be a boiling wrath within them, but they're not venting. And after a while, they may come to the point where finally they explode verbally, and they say things they wish they had never said. Psalm 139, beginning verse number 1. "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue." And there's a comma. "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." It's very interesting to me that there's a comma. After he said, "My heart was hot within me," While I was musing, the fire burned. I spake with my tongue, comma, Lord, make me to know mine end. When a man has the wrath boiling within him, eventually he may explode if he doesn't vent. By the way, let me tell you this. There is one that you can vent to. No matter about other people, there's one you can speak to about your problem. Don't ever act as though you've got no one to talk to. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a Father that cares about your situation. And even though it's boiling up within you, and perhaps you feel like I cannot talk to anyone else about it, still, by the grace of God, you've got an open door to come before Him and receive the mercy and the grace that you need for the time. Now, when you come to a point where you're boiling within a controlled explosion, I don't mean sinful, but a controlled explosion. And sometimes a person may get worked up about something and he may rightfully say some things, but a controlled explosion can be good. And yet when it's out of control, that is bad. Think about the person having a short madness. Think about a person losing his temper and saying things that he should not say. Consider these things. Number one, speak the truth when you should. That gives you opportunities to vent. When it's the right time, the right place, the right setting, speak the truth. Number two, beware of the enemy about you that might use your words against you. If you're not careful, you may spout something and your enemy hear that, and that be used against you. Even if it's just the accuser of the brethren that hears you, it may be that you say something you shouldn't say, and over again, you'll be reminded of that. And so, beware the enemy about you that might use your words against you. Number three, look down the road of life to the end. That's one of those great rules that you can draw from the Word of God, the need to look to the end. The Bible says in the last of that Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, Lord, make me to know mine end. Look down the road. If there's a temptation for you to blow up, look down the road. Look down the road to the judgment seat of Christ. Look down the road as what might be the repercussions, the consequences of you blowing up. Look to the end. Then consider as well, realize that life is short. And you can spend hours and hours and hours boiling over something, but remember, life is very short. And remember that you are frail. Once again, those words, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Then let's go on to consider concerning frustration. Frustration because of the feeling that great men have been unwise, and aged ones have lacked understanding. Notice, if you will, verse number 9. The Bible says, great men are not always wise. Well, ain't that the truth? Great men are not always wise. They might even have a reputation for wisdom. They might even be considered experts in their field. But the fact is that great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. It has been said, there is no fool like an old fool. And sometimes a person may be well up in age. A person may have the crown of gray hair, hoary hair, as the Bible says, and yet still be a foolish person. Just because a person is old does not mean he is wise. Just because he's old does not mean that he has good judgment. I say this to the young people that are here. One of these days you may look back in your life and you may see that you have been misinformed and you have been misdirected by some people that were older and should have known better. In a variety of ways, sometimes there might be somebody, and I've already dealt with this idea of respecting your elders. You should have respect for your elders. And still, even the elders sometimes may give you bad advice. And sometimes young people may go astray, and especially when it comes to living the Christian life as it is supposed to live, sometimes older men, older women may give you bad advice. I think it's good to be open for advice from the elders. But always, always, always esteem the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit above the words of your elders. If your elders' words line up with the Word of God, thank God for good elders that give good advice. I just thought about one thing. Of course, my wife and I, we reached a point in our marriage where now we look back at some things, but this idea, you're never ready to get married. Who came up with it? You're never ready to get married. Just go ahead and get married. Yeah, they don't have to live with the consequences. It's things like that where... And I know younger in my younger years, shortly after I got saved, sometimes I think on at least two occasions I remember, I looked at or listened to somebody older and somebody that professed Christianity and went ahead and tried to alter my way some to match what they said or how they lived. But a person that's older and professes Christ can give you some bad advice. And you may spend years paying the price for bad advice. And there can be a frustration sometimes that a person has when he realizes that great men have been unwise and aged men have lacked understanding. Now, as far as an elder giving bad advice, sometimes it might be they've been wrongly informed themselves and misdirected themselves. And sometimes it might be that perhaps they have refused to face the fact that they were wrong when they were younger. The Lord willing, I think it's the next message in the, as far as a radio message, is going to deal with the acknowledgement of old sins. And I think sometimes that brothers and sisters in Christ that are up in age may need to look back in their lives and say, I was wrong. And you don't need to follow my example because I was wrong back there. Instead of talking about their past as though this is the way I went, and so you walk in my way. Here's an example from my life. I was talking about marriage. As far as marriage is concerned, a person may talk about the fact that we've got a good marriage. That doesn't mean that everything that you did was right. And sometimes a person may need to acknowledge, yes, I was wrong here and I was wrong here, but thank God for mercy and grace. And thank the Lord now we have a good marriage. Sometimes a person may be frustrated when they realize that great men are not always wise. And the aged don't always have good judgment. And I think it may be perhaps even worse now in America than what it has been because of the lack of the teaching of the Word of God in churches. Now beginning with verse number 10. Therefore I said, hearken to me. I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, and I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, And behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. Consider, fourthly, frustration because false philosophy seems to be victorious and false victories are celebrated. Sometimes you may find that people are in agreement, but they're in agreement on false philosophy. A young person coming along may fall under the influence of a group of people, maybe family members and others, that all have accepted the same basic false philosophy and would lead the person down the same wrong road. And sometimes a person may speak as though that look at the success I've had and point to that as if that means that I was right in what I did. Well, that's not necessarily true. You remember the case where here this man, he was an attendant. He was an attendant to the three friends. And the three friends were throwing those false accusations at Job, He'd been watching this, or he'd heard this. Then finally he stepped up and began to speak. Remember in David's life, he'd been out there with the sheep, and he got sent to the army of Israel, some things by his father. He got sent, and he went to the army of Israel, and there was the army of Israel, but the Philistine, the champion of the Philistines, Goliath, came out. And he defied the armies of the living God. And David, he said something about it, and his brother rebuked him, his older brother rebuked him. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" And sometimes a young person may see things that are going on and realize this isn't right and this isn't right and something needs to be done. And sometimes the spirit within him will rise up and say, "Is there not a cause to take a stand? Why are we acting like this is okay? Why are we acting like this is, everything's fine, we're having victory? Sitting around and waiting while a Goliath blasphemed the name of God was not victory. Peace was not victory. They were losing." Sometimes young people may see, there are some things, somebody needs to do something. Is there not a cause? Somebody needs to take a stand. It might be that you're the one that needs to take a stand. It might be that there's a part that you need to do. And there can be a frustration sometimes because false philosophy seems victorious. False victories are celebrated. You ever listen to some of the things that go on in politics and the news, and they may speak as though that we've got a victory? And the Republicans, they may talk like, "Oh, We got victory here." And what they may have done is compromise with a leftist and pass some bill that's spending money that we don't have, but yet they may celebrate it like it's a victory for us. In the past, I don't know so much now, but in the past, I've listened to the news and hear them talk about maybe 100,000 jobs added to the market, the labor market. 100,000 jobs. What have we got, about 330 million people in America? What is 100,000 jobs? Like a drop in the bucket. And yet they may speak as though that's good, and the stock market may respond favorably. And if a person looks at the fact, he may say, something needs to be done about this. This is not good. And I realize sometimes young people may get upset when they look about themselves. They see some of the things that are going on, the falsehood, the false philosophies that are being pushed. Consider number five, frustration because of his own infection with false philosophy. Now here, I want you to listen to this. In verses 17 through 20, the Bible says this, I said I will answer also my part, also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me, behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. I find it interesting that he spoke here saying, I am full of matter. We give you the first definition from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary for the noun form of matter. Quote, substance excreted from living animal bodies, that which is thrown out or discharged in a tumor, boil, or an abscess. So it's the kind of thing that may come out of a boil. The infection coming forth from a boil. And of course, Job, a living example right there before them. Job may have had many a boil that had erupted. Here this man said he was full of matter. And then notice what else he said. He said, behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I find it interesting. First of all, we consider the likeness to an infection, and secondly, to fermentation. Fermentation, a process in which there was something that was living that has died. And there's a process of decay that goes on. And as a result of that, there are gases formed so that if it's in a container, that container may swell and swell and finally burst. As far as young people that are here are concerned, it is true. You may look out sometimes, see things in this world and be frustrated. Great men are not wise. Old men, they don't have good judgment. So many things going on that are wrong in this world, the false philosophies. But be careful because you may be infected with false philosophy. You may have something, as it might be said, that has died within you and is fermenting, and so that there's a building of pressure within you because you have been infected with false philosophy. If a young person, for instance, is of a socialistic mindset, he may look about him, he may say something needs to be done about these problems, and as a result of seeing the problems, think something needs to be done, he may get upset with those that he thinks are not doing what they ought to do. You ought to be giving some money to these people. These people are in need. When actually he is infected with a false philosophy. Elihu, and I believe that all of these men, Job and the three friends and Elihu, I believe they were all good men. But that does not exempt them from having some false philosophies. And I think in the case of Elihu, he had some false philosophies, and it affected the way he thought, and it affected the way he spoke. And then, number six, frustration because of false and flattering titles. Notice, if you will, verses 21 and 22. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, in so doing my Maker would soon take me away. Flattering titles. Are you tired of big headlines and little stories? How much of that do you see? This is going to sink her campaign. What is it? He made this racist comment. And you may search the article trying to find out where it is. When it's so minor. We live in a day in which there are so many superlatives, so many adjectives. We live in a day in which people use big words to describe little things. We live in a day in which there's so much overspeak and underperformance. We live in a day in which people have got titles. Empty people have got titles, great titles, but empty people, even worse than empty people, with great titles. And people put great stock in people that have got great titles and great positions. I was just thinking about the National Weather Service. Have you ever heard them say that the National Weather Service has predicted this is going to be a bad year for hurricanes? They don't know. They make this stuff up. The weather gatherers, they make this stuff up. They can't see that far in advance. But people have got positions, they've got titles, flattering titles. By the way, let me say this about Bible colleges. Sometimes it might be in a Bible college that they give a person a honorary doctorate degree. And sometimes it might be, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes it might be because they want the person to teach for them. And they want all their teachers to be doctors. And so that could be fixed, can't it? Just give them an honorary degree. And now we've got Dr. So-and-so on our staff. There's so much falsehood and so much flattery today. So much fakeism, phony stuff today. And I can understand a young person becoming very frustrated with some things going on in the world today and having the attitude, is there not a cause? Won't somebody fix this mess? Now be careful, young people, be careful that you don't have false philosophy yourself. I want you to consider one more thing, and I'm just going to deal with this very briefly. Number 7, frustration because of a stubborn, self-righteous, self-confidence. Notice chapter 33 in verses 5 and 6. Let me come back to this. But in chapter 33, verses 5 and 6, now this man speaking to Job, Job was a great man of God. But notice his words to Job. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. What happened to all this respect for the elders that he had? You need to be careful. And I can understand young people seeing things going on today being very upset. There is so much lying going on today. I've put out one message, sent one message in for the radio, and I preached on it here in the past, but what has lying done to America? Lying is called distrust, caused distrust, and has discredited many in America. If you know some truth, if you know some history, if you know some basic facts of science, you may find yourself saying, I don't believe that. I just don't trust that. And the media, they may want to put forth the narrative, and you believe, you swallow it. If you've been around for a while and been watching this kind of thing, you may say, well, I don't trust the politicians. I don't trust the government. I don't trust the media. I don't trust the educators. I don't trust the religious leaders. There's the old story along this line that there was a man that had a little boy, and he put him up on the mantle, and he told him to jump to him. And the boy jumped, and the man turned away, and the boy fell. He said, don't trust nobody. Out in this world long enough, you may come to the point where I don't trust them. The government says the sky is blue. Let me go out and check. Show me some documentation. Do something. But we can become frustrated, and then we can react wrongly. That's a very dangerous thing. The young people that are here, It is good. Anytime God calls you to do something, take a stand. Then take the stand. If you come to a point where you're like a David and Goliath is out there defying the armies of the living God and nobody's taking a stand, I believe in that case, he was supposed to take a stand. And God may put you in a similar situation where you are supposed to take a stand. But be careful. Be careful that you don't have the wrong spirit and the wrong philosophy and become infected yourself and say things and do things whereby you have consequences, terrible consequences down the road. Let me say this about politics. I look into politics. I read. You can dry up. A man can dry up on politics. He can get bitter. Don't do that. God is still in control. The Word of God is still true. And there is still hope. I don't know what is to come. There may be war that comes to our shores. There may be terrible suffering. You and I may suffer terribly. War can disrupt the economy. There may be so many terrible things. But regardless, there is hope. Put your trust in God. There's a blessing for those that put their trust in God. If you will, please stand. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.